I had a little trouble figuring out just where I was going this morning. Several ideas, but most of them just didn't seem to fit. I either couldn't find the scriptures to support what I wanted to speak about, or it was getting into something a little on the controversial or argumentative side, and I don't want to, at least today, to get into argumentative subjects. And then I remembered our brother in St. Louis, who was a pastor, and he says, when you don't find the right place, go to the Sermon on the Mount. On page 636 in the Book of Mormon, 66th verse, "And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Now this law we're speaking of here was the law of Moses, but the commandments are of Christ. Well, yes, the law of Moses is of Christ too, but through Moses. "Behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore come unto me, and be ye saved." The law is fulfilled. That means the old Mosaic law, the law that pertains to sacrifice, obedience. Doesn't mean that those things that Moses would have taught that would have been items to do good, to do right, that's not fulfilled, that's not completed. But that, the law of sacrifice, Christ was the last sacrifice. He himself, a personal sacrifice, which the sheep and the lambs cannot come close to. "Behold, I have the commandment. Ye have the commandment before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me, and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And you know, there's only two places for us to go: the kingdom of heaven. Well, there'll be a trip through a place called paradise en route, but it's still to the kingdom of heaven, or to the prison house, hell, whatever name you want to give it. We have, in the restoration, and I guess maybe somewhat in the Catholic Church, want to soften a little bit and give some way of intermediate ground, a way of, as they say, pray them out of purgatory. But the scriptures doesn't support that. And of course, in some of our latter day revelations, purported revelations, I guess I should say, in an effort to find a middle ground, they come up with the idea of celestial glory and telestial, terrestrial and telestial. But the scripture doesn't support it. You've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, and is also written before you, that ye shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment of God. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Well, right here they called it hell fire. I said, prison house, hell. Christ's words, he says, hell fire. Therefore, if you shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Who is a brother? We're talking about our flesh and blood brother? Oh, sure. We're talking about our brother as far as in religion? Sure. Are we talking about our brother down the street that has some other persuasion? I think probably so. That maybe can be discussed. But to be safe, I think we better consider it all. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time that he shall get thee and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost senine. If we was writing today, we might say the uttermost penny, whatever the sum might be, or dollar. And while you are in prison, can ye pay even one senine? Verily, verily, I say unto you, nay. Now, does this have a... Is this literal? Yes, I think it is literal. That we aren't to be resistive when we are in the wrong crowd, because we may find ourselves thrown in jail because we pick a fight, cause a disturbance. Does this have a spiritual aspect also? Yes, I think probably so. once we are in a prison house, at least in those days, you were unable to earn any money. And I think the people who are in prison these days now, if they do work, they get a little pay, small pay, but a little pay. But in those times when this is written, apparently it was not. So keep yourselves clear of that which would put you into a prison, either a spiritual prison, which is hell, or a literal prison, which is behind the bars. Behold, it is written by them of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Behold, I give you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than that ye should be cast into hell. It has been written that whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whoso shall marry her who is divorced, committeth adultery. And again it is written, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But verily, verily, I say unto you, swear not at all. Not even a swear to God. Swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither shall I swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair black or white. And I don't need more white ones, that's for sure. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever cometh of more than these are evil. And you know it's so easy to get in the habit of adding a swear word with yes or with no. Maybe you don't even consider it a swear word. Heaven's yes, heaven's no. Heck yes, heck no. But it really doesn't add to the answer at all. And this tells us right here that we are to not. Yes and no is to be our answer. If the answer is yes, yes. If the answer is no, no. Or yay or nay, if you choose. And behold, it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I heard something a few years ago, says don't hold a grudge to get even real quick and forget about it. That's not holding a grudge, is it? But I don't think that's quite the right way. Behold, it is written, behold, it is written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall not resist evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Some of us find that a little difficult. when someone has wronged you, but you don't want to do something wrong to recompense, an eye for an eye. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. For the days of all the lawyers and the advertising to call a lawyer, get recompense, don't think that's the way Christians, specific Church of Christ people, can or should do. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That's two, isn't it? Twain. Give to him that asketh, and to him that would borrow thee, turn thou not away. Well, that's a hard one sometimes. If you got a prized possession that you don't want to loan. I particularly have a problem with that. And behold, it is written also that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. We hear the term that God causes to rain on the just and the unjust. Well, this is saying the same thing. Therefore, those things which were of old time, which were under the law, in me are all fulfilled. Old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore I would that ye should be perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. I hear so many times that, well, it's impossibly perfect. Let's face it, we just can't. I don't believe Christ would ask us to do something that we can't do. And Christ taught this to the ancient Indians, and almost word for word in the Bible to the Jews or to his followers in Jerusalem. Verily, verily, I say that I would that ye should do alms unto the poor, but take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you shall do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as will hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth. I don't know what that left hand and right hand here is. Or that's your a man and his wife, or his wife and a husband, or not. That's pretty hard to do, to not let your husband or your wife know what you do. If it involves money out of the checking account, the checks come in and the evidence is there. But, and of course, my hand as such doesn't really give anything of money, that is, other than caused by the brain. The brain, of course, don't write checks. Your hands do write. But I don't think there's really any justification to try to tear that apart. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not do as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I hear people say sometimes, oh, he offered such a beautiful prayer. Well, maybe that's all right. But if the prayer was offered in order for people to appreciate the beauty of it, maybe the prayer was offered for the wrong reason. Maybe the prayer should have been more direct to the point. Colorful phrases in prayer. I personally don't agree. I'm not going to condemn someone that has a few phrases they might like to use, but I try not to. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions. Don't go over and over and over the same thing as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. We don't even need to ask for everything that we have need of, because God knows what our needs are. We ask for his help, yes, but not for everything that we may think of that we might need. Might be some things that we need that we don't know about. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your trespasses. This is very, very difficult for some people to forgive someone when they have been wronged, when they feel that they have a debt owed to them, an apology. Of course, it's very hard sometimes for people to apologize. But if you owe someone an apology, for sure, do apologize. But if you feel someone owes you an apology, let it pass. Forgive and forget. That's not my teaching. That's Christ's teaching. So it's important. A little bit different. But all the same. Back in the Book of Alma, page 310, if you want to look. Now it came to pass in the sixth year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi, there were no contention nor wars in the land of Zarahemla. Why? Because it had a horrible war. This was in between wars. There were no contention nor wars in the land of Zarahemla, and the people, being afflicted, yea, greatly afflicted, for the loss of their brethren, and also for the loss of their flocks and herds, and also for the loss of their fields of grain, which were trodden underfoot and destroyed by the Lamanites. And so great were their afflictions that every soul had cause to mourn, and they believed that it was the judgment of God sent upon them because of their wickedness and their abominations. Therefore they were awakened to a remembrance of their duty. Sometimes when we have adversities comes upon us, we should give consideration that it might be that God has sent it to wake us up. I don't mean to say that every time you have a adversity that God's beating you over the head. A lot of our adversities we bring upon ourselves. We have a flat tire. Maybe because we didn't drive around a rock, or maybe we didn't buy new tires when we should have. But maybe you should consider the possibility at least. And they began to establish the church more fully, yea, and many were baptized in the waters of Sidon, and were joined to the church of God. Yea, they were baptized by the hand of Alma, who had been consecrated the high priest over the people of the church by the hand of his father, Alma. And it came to pass in the seventh year of the reign of the judges, there were about 3,500 souls that united themselves to the church of God and were baptized. And thus ended the seventh year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi, and there was continual peace in all that time. All that time. We'll just start out here with the sixth year and the seventh year. That's a whole year. They all lived happily ever after. Didn't say that, did it? And it came to pass in the 8th year of the reign of the judges that the people of the church began to wax proud because of their exceeding riches and their fine silks and their fine twined linen. And because of their many flocks and herds and their gold and their silver and all manner of precious things which they had obtained by their industry. And in all these things were they lifted up in the pride of their eyes, for they began to wear very costly apparel. Now this was a cause of much affliction to Alma, yea, and to many of the people which Alma had consecrated to be teachers and priests and elders over the church. Yea, many of them were sorely grieved for the wickedness which they saw had begun to be among their people. For they saw and heard with great sorrow that the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes and to set their hearts upon riches and upon vain things of the world, that they began to be scornful one towards another, and they began to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And thus in the 8th year of the reign of judges there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. Yea, there were envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. I'm not trying to emphasize that we have a problem of malice and pride and envy. I just want to put it before you to think about, to be careful that we do not have. And for each and every one of us to make that effort, not to be puffed up in our pride, not to be contentious one with another, but to love and obey. This all happened in 1 year's time. Back at that time, and it certainly can happen again in 1 year's time or less. So it's important that we keep ourselves obedient to the will of God. And that will of God would be that we'd be loving one with another, not jealous, not puffed up, but humble, faithful, and obedient, and loving. Maybe I said loving before. I'll say loving again. Can't be too many times of loving, because those are the two great commandments. One was to love thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Perhaps I didn't get exact right words. And the second was to love thy neighbor as thyself. I think you love me and I love you. Let's keep it that way. Thank you.